It's a lot of parents here this morning. If you're a parent, raise your hand. Hey, there's so many. Welcome. Really glad you're here. My name is Steve England. I am staff with New Life Christian Fellowship, staff with NLCF here for not much longer because I'm going to the community side. We'll talk about that later, but let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, that we can be here to worship you, that we can come together as a community to be in the presence of each other, to be in your presence, to hear from you, to study your word, to look at the things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things that you will do. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, speak to us, Lord, very personally. Lord, I also pray for my wife that she would find parking. Lord, she's super pregnant. And I just pull a miracle here, Lord. That's pretty much what it is at this point. So, God, would you move and let her be able to come and be here this morning? We love you. We pray all this in the precious, loving, awesome name of Jesus. Amen. So, about a year ago, I was set out on like a journey. I don't know a really good way to describe it other than it was kind of like a journey. It was spurred on by Jim. He said, "You're going to do this." I said, "Okay." So really, it wasn't spurring. It was more of a command, which was fine because I was willing to do it. It was good. But I decided that I was going to take I was going to take some time and just reflect back on my life and look at what God had been doing and how that had an impact on me kind of today here in this moment. And then also look at the trajectory that God was putting me on, the things that he was going to do. Now, something you should know about me, and you might if you know me well enough, is that I'm pretty forgetful. My memory is not that good. And it tends to not serve me well in remembering all the things that happen, especially details. And so for me to be able to really look back on my past, what I decided to do is that I was going to go back and read through as many journals of mine that I could get my hands on. And see, I used to write in a journal a lot, and I still do. I kind of picked it up. There was a period where I kind of like stopped doing it, but then I've recently kind of picked it back up. And so it was something that it is a regular part of my times with God because of my poor memory. I used to write anything in my journal from what I was learning to scripture passages, prayers, sermon notes, just all sorts of stuff, the things that seemed really impactful for me at any given moment. And then, of course, there was like here's what's on my heart, all the blah, blah, blah stuff. You know, stuff when you read back, you're like, oh, okay, whatever, shut up, Steve. You know, and so there was a bunch of that. Some of my journals were like really easy to find. Like I kind of have a bookshelf in our basement, and they were like I had a bunch there. Some of them I had to go digging through some boxes to find, but I gathered them all up, and I put them in chronological order. And the earliest journal that I found was from 1999. That's a while ago. Yes, that was a while ago. Now that is the freshman and sophomore year of college. Steve, that's when that is. I was a freshman in 1999, and I am older than most of you, so that's fine. I'm not the oldest though, so I'm cool with that. But I'm cool with it. I'm just cool. I'm cool. That's what I'm saying. All right. So this is a while ago. You know, looking back, and it was kind of fun, a little embarrassing. You know, to read back through some of this stuff, and it took me a while, but I read through all of them, and it, you know, I probably skimmed a portion of some of them because it was like I was being like uber repetitive, and I was like, I've read this like 18 times in the last 5 minutes, so I'm gonna just kind of skip through this. But it was about 7 to 8 journals in total, and so here's what I found. I was ridiculous, like ridiculous. I was a whiner. I was annoying. I was reading through some of this stuff, and I was like, dude, dude, come on. Like, you can say so much, so many things in just the word dude. Like, somebody does something, you're like, dude. Something happens, you're like, dude. This was like, dude. That was kind of what was going on. And so I was just super, super frustrated. I just looked at, there was all these mistakes that I had made. There was whining. I was repeating mistakes. I was forgetting about God's provision, the things that he was doing. Oh, sweet. Amy made it. Hey, babe. Sorry. Totally. She hates when I do that. Not draw attention to my wife right now. Stop looking at her. Stop it. No, just kidding. It was like forgetting about the things that God was doing, the provision, doubting that he was going to provide for me in the future. It was just bad. And then there was the whining. It was just so much whining about everything. Needless to say, there was a lot of times where I just got really frustrated at myself. But there were a lot of times that I was reading through my journal and I was like, yes, Steve, 2001, you nailed it. You know, it's just like, I don't know what happened exactly in 2001, but like there were these times where it was like, yes, you got it right that time. You're doing good. Oh, there you go again. You know, but there was a lot of times where I really surprised myself. At different times in my life, I had people that would come up to me, and these people are my closest friends. They would come up and they would see something in me, and they were like, God is doing something in you. And they wanted to help me to walk through that. They wanted to kind of guide me through it. They wanted to help me take these steps towards God. Sometimes gently, they would kind of encourage me, like very softly, oh, Steve, this could be a good thing. And sometimes it was like, do this. You have to do this or else you're not going to like really see God move. And they were right. There were these faith steps that I was being encouraged to take. Now, sometimes I would neglect these challenges, just like most of us probably do at times. But sometimes I would just neglect it. Sometimes I listened and I took those steps that I was encouraged to take. In the moments where I was neglecting the challenges, usually there was fear involved with that. There was something that was like causing me to hold back, and it was because I was afraid either that I was going to fail or that it wasn't really what God wanted me to do. I was afraid. And I still struggle with this sometimes today, and I kind of held myself back a little bit. But in the moments where I took these faith steps, there was a confidence. But it wasn't a confidence in the things that that I could do. It wasn't a confidence in, you know, my strengths, my abilities. It was a confidence that God was doing something and that he wanted to do something more. It was a confidence that was fed by knowing that God was with me. You know, Jesus tells us, I will be with you. And there was a confidence that God was leading those who were leading me. Sometimes just knowing that the people that are closest to me are hearing from God and that they are encouraging me, that builds confidence in us. So as I was reading through my journals too, like I noticed something else. I noticed that the times where I was most alive, the times where I was most experiencing God in my life, the times where I was finding that I was more obedient to the things that he was calling me to, was when I was just deep in God's word. Just deep, reading it, soaking it in, journaling about it. I mean, I would write out whole chapters, whole passages, and just like pour out my heart as to what I knew God was doing. Those were the times where I just felt and I knew that I was most alive. For me, when I was in school, when I was in college, something that I coveted, something that I really wanted was a relationship. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm confessing right now that we think about this stuff. Ladies, yes, guys think about this stuff. Like, we're tough, you know. But, like, I just really wanted a relationship. I wanted, like, I just wanted a good relationship. One that was, like, oriented around God. I wanted the right woman. I'm sorry, but I had a list. Like, I was just, like, it was, like, all this stuff. You do it, too. Don't act like you don't. So there was, like, I just wanted it really, really bad. And those were the times where I just wanted to reach through the journal and smack that Steve, 2002 Steve. You know, just like, get your stuff together. Come on, dude. Like, you know, it was one of those moments. And I just wanted that really bad. It became an idol for me. It was something that I was lifting up higher than God. Even though I was going to God about this, I was like, I mean, so if you go back and read through my journals, it's ridiculous how much I prayed for my future wife. Now, I don't mean that you should pray for your future relationships. You should pray for your current relationships. But I was taking this idea and I was elevating it above God. I was putting more emphasis on a future relationship than I was on my current relationship with my Heavenly Father. That was a problem. And, you know, so maybe you can relate to this. Maybe not. Maybe it's not a relationship. Maybe it's a perfect job. You have some people that are getting ready to graduate here or move on in a little while. Maybe you're a first-year student and you're already thinking about this. It's not a bad thing. A relationship that's oriented around God, a good job, these are not bad things. But we have to be aware that at times, some of these things, we can elevate them to a degree to where they actually rob, like we are robbing our affection from God, from ourselves. We are not fully giving ourselves to God the way that we should. And so in all of this reflecting that I've done, I have some reflections for you as we reflect. So it's a lot of reflecting going on. If you've been around maybe this semester, you might remember, if like you just started coming around, you wouldn't probably know this, but this is, I'm actually, in New Life Christian Fellowship, we have two congregations. There's NLCF, which is the campus side. You're here, welcome. And then we have New Life, which is our community congregation. This is where there's a lot of families, lots of kids, stuff like that. And so each side of New Life Christian Fellowship in this regard has its own staff team. This is my last semester being staff with NLCF. I am shifting over to work with the community side. And so this is my last sermon to you. These are my final words as a campus staffer. And so please take these things that I say as like my last charges to you. These are the last things that I want to leave you with. We'll start with the graduates, which is like backwards of what you would probably think. Graduates. Now, because my wife, Amy, is like super pregnant, she could have a baby any day. And so I might not get to see you when you finish. I might not get to be around because my life's about to get stupid busy. So if I don't see you by then, congratulations. Truly, congratulations. The thing that you have accomplished, or at least you're hopefully by this point you're doing good enough. But like, you know, you're going to finish. But the thing that is coming up next is, and what you have done in these last 4 to 8, however many years, it's fine. It's about finishing. So the things that you have been doing, it is an accomplishment. Congratulations. The world is blessed to have you. Your knowledge that you've gained over the years, your experiences, and your presence. Here's what I would say to you. Use everything that you have gained during this time for the sake of the kingdom of God. Use it all. In Ephesians 6, Paul, he's giving some instructions. And the instructions that he's giving kind of in this passage that I'm talking about, he's actually talking to slaves. It's important for us to remember during this time that it wasn't like slaves necessarily how we think of slaves, but it was like indentured servants. And so these were people that were brought into something and they were kind of working through it and working out of it. And he was talking to them. At times you might feel like a slave in your future job, heads up. But you know, but just know like there is a, when we read scripture like this, there are biblical principles that we can pull from it. And it is not a far stretch at all for us to think through this. And so here's what he says. He's talking to slaves. He says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether slave or free. And it's that serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord part that we want to like really grab a hold of here. Do that. Serve wholeheartedly in everything that you do. Also, as quickly as you can, find a church and be a part of it. Call it your own. And I want to give you a couple heads up about something. One is that you will not find a perfect church. You will not find one that is perfect in the sense of like maybe just like a relationship. Maybe there's a list. It's not going to have likely everything on your list. All churches are different, and that is okay. Don't look for a perfect church. Also, it is unlikely. It can happen, but you may not find a church that is exactly like an LCF. Just a heads up. Because so many people come and say, oh, these churches, they just don't have their stuff together. They're nothing like NLCF was, blah, blah, blah. It's okay to be a part of a church that is not exactly like NLCF. Be okay if that's the case. And do not spend too much time church hopping. There. Okay. So find a church where the people love God. This is what you should look for, I think. Find a church where the people love God and they love each other. That is critical. Find a church where they are living for the good of their community, where they are active, they are serving the people around them. They are like, this is our place, these are our people, we are going to minister and worship here. And then finally, find a church that holds a high value of Scripture. This would be of utmost importance. The last thing, come back and visit. This kind of goes without saying, but it's hard to keep a Hokie out of Blacksburg. That's something that I've learned over the years here being staff with NLCF, and so that's cool. But if you come in on a weekend, stop in on a Sunday too, because we love that. We just love seeing faces of people who come back into town. Just come in and say hi. And stop over New Life, because I'll be over there. So, yeah, come say hi too. Now, for the freshmen. Our technical term now here at Virginia Polytechnic Institute State University is first-year students. So first-year students, I want to talk to you for a moment. And there's a lot here. I'm excited to see how many of you are here this morning. We talked about faith steps. Take that next faith step for you, whatever that is. Figure out, seek the Lord, talk to the people that are closest around you. Take that next faith step in your discipleship of Jesus. Whatever it is. Around here, we like to use imagery, as a ways to like help us understand, principles. And there's a discipleship square that we kind of use a lot when meeting. Sometimes we'll write these out on a napkin. And there are four kind of the basic sides of the square. We kind of go into some other detail, but there are these four steps. This has been around for longer than we've been using the square, but the first step is imagine if I were discipling you, which for some of you, that's not a stretch because I am. But imagine that I was discipling you. So there's this I do, you watch. This is like an apprenticeship sort of process. You may have heard this. First step is I do, you watch. And so you were learning by being there, by being present, by experiencing the things that those who are discipling you are experiencing. The second is I do, you help. And so now we are joining together. We are doing this together. We are a pair. We are a team. The third step is you do, I help. And so here it is. You've seen me do it. Now it's your turn. Jesus would do this with his disciples. You go through his discipleship process. These are things that happen all the time. He would say, you have seen me do this. Now go and do it yourselves. And the fourth one is you do, I watch. And so my job here is now to stand back. If you need help, I'm here, but it's your turn. The key in this discipleship square is that there is someone who can help you in your discipleship. Remember earlier I said that there have been times over the years where people have said that they see something in me and they want to be there to kind of help guide me and help me walk and grow in my discipleship. These people helped me grow immensely. We would meet regularly, sometimes weekly, sometimes every other week, and look at life and how to grow as a disciple in Jesus. And this was a thing that we did together. There would be times where I could kind of speak into their lives. It didn't happen as much, but that's okay because they were the ones kind of coming alongside me and helping me grow. In most cases, they were pouring into me more than I would pour into them. But I recognized that I needed somebody to kind of come alongside me and spur me on and encourage me and challenge me. And so this is my encouragement to you, first-year students. Find someone who can be pouring into you. Find someone who can help you grow in your discipleship. If you go to here to NLCF and you're part of our engage groups, maybe it could be your engage group leader. Maybe it could be your small group leader. Maybe it could just be somebody who you look at and you respect their walk with God and you want to grow by their help. If you're a part of another kind of ministry throughout the week, you know, you go to a different Bible study with a different ministry, which is totally cool. Find somebody. Find someone who can help you grow in your discipleship. This is something that we see in Scripture. There's a passage that I would like to read. This is from 2 Timothy 2. This passage is 1 through 7. It's up here, but you can listen if you want as well. This is Paul. He's talking to Timothy. You know, he had kind of been discipling Timothy, building into him. We kind of see this discipleship square stuff happening. It was just really good, and he was, Paul was the one who had been walking with Christ more, and so he was really trying to help Timothy in his growth. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you," this is the kind of the key part, "and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this." Some of it starts off very clear, and we kind of get exactly what he's talking about. But then he goes and he talks about, like, military and athletes and farmers. And so we can talk about this for a second. But the first thing to take note of is that Paul he says to Timothy, "my son." And this wasn't just like a thing that they threw around. But Paul actually saw himself as a spiritual father towards Timothy. And Timothy saw himself as a spiritual son. This was common language during this time, where it was a family thing. And they would use this lingo, this language, when they would refer to each other. He looked at them as a spiritual son. And so it's important for us just to take note of that. Another thing is that Paul is taking, when he's talking to Timothy, he is telling him, take the things that you have heard me say and you have seen me do and pass that on to somebody else. Who then can pass that on to someone else? This is a key part in discipleship. As a disciple, we are all called to make disciples. And so it has to be a part of our regular walk with God. And so if you don't have this first step where there's somebody like a Paul who is pouring into you, find that person. But then know that it is our responsibility to be passing that on to somebody else. Making disciples is part of our own discipleship. Each one of you, each one of us is called to this. None of us are left out into this calling. And so be aware of that. Paul uses the analogy of military. And the reason that he does this is to communicate the sense of responsibility of us discipling others and being discipled. There's a strong sense of, like, here's what you must do. Be obedient to that. Follow through with that. Then he uses the analogy of an athlete, referring to the discipline of being a disciple, of making disciples. This is something that you have to be intentional with, and you have to put a little bit of effort into, just like an athlete does in their training. And then he talks about farming. And he talks about bearing fruit. And in discipleship, so this is a common analogy that we see all throughout Scripture about making followers of Jesus. And not just people who are like, yes, I'll follow Jesus, and then we never interact with him ever again, but people that we are, like, spurring on. So discipleship is something for each of us. My encouragement, finally, is to take the time, the rest of the time that you're here, first year students, and do this. Put effort into it. Pour yourself into it. Pour yourself into others. It will help you to grow, but it will also help, which this is more important, it helps the kingdom of God grow. So, now, for everyone else, so we got like rising sophomores and juniors. We already talked about rising sophomores. We have rising juniors and seniors. We have graduate students. We have folks that are working here, parents that are visiting. This is for all of us here. First off, everything I just said about discipleship, do that. That's like, do it. You know, that is not just for first-year students. That is for all of us here. It's fun to break things up, and so I do that. But do that stuff that I just said. And next, really, and this is for the freshmen too, but this is my encouragement. I could have just said, all y'all do this stuff, and I could have just listed off things, but I like breaking it up. So remember that your time here is limited, likely, unless you graduate and stick around forever, like Jim. love you, bro. Right there. So anyway, okay, so... I kid. All right. If next year is your last year here, then you're really limited in how much time that you have. Once you graduate or move on from this place, things are not going to be the same. They're going to be different. You might think, I don't have much time right now because you have work, you have class, you have projects, papers, exams, a lot of stuff going on. You actually have more time than you think you do right now. And a big part of that revolves around the idea of semesters and breaks. But just know that when you graduate, it is likely that you will not have as much time as you do right now to do certain things. Here's what I recommend. And this is in reference, this part right here is in reference to breaks. You know, like spring break, winter break, fall break, summer break, you know, the breaks. First off, as I would say, is go on a spring break trip. Before you leave here. In life, we don't always get spring break. You get vacation. You get, you know, time to do things. The church that you will likely become a part of in your future, they will have mission trips and stuff like that. But spring break is a time off that you can most of the time spend doing something like this. To be able to have that time to be able to go and serve. Whether it's, you know, you could serve here in Blacksburg over spring break. You could go to Honduras and serve. You could go on our beach trip and hang out and just go deep into Scripture. Again, you might not get time to do this. And it doesn't matter if it's with NLCF or some other ministry. My encouragement to you is do this while you can, because you might not get an opportunity like this. Anyone who has been on a spring break trip here will tell you it is a good thing to do. It's not just going to come from me, some guy with a microphone saying what he can because this is his last time and get away with it sermon. It's not really like that, but it is important. So go and do that. Number two, and this is a little bit bigger, is strongly, strongly consider going to our summer leadership training program before you leave Blacksburg, before you leave Virginia Tech. You know, we talk about mission trips, how, yes, you can still go do them and take vacation time to do those and stuff like that. It is highly likely that you will not have an opportunity to take a summer and to give it to God in this way. It is not just a thing where we go and we kind of party for 11 weeks and hang out and go do hikes in Colorado and all sorts of stuff like that. Yes, there's fun stuff like that, but it is a time of deep study of Scripture, a deep connection. You will make lifelong friendships. With people from all over the United States and all over the world, just from doing this program. I've done three in my time here with NLCF, one of which was in Colorado, which is where we're going this summer. And so the things that you do there, to be able to have that time to do that, is you might not get that ever again. And so just strongly consider it. Think about it really hard. And parents, if you're here and your son or daughter is thinking about it, It is a good program. You can come and ask me questions about it later. I highly recommend it, and we might not get a chance to do that. You have a lot of time to do internships. You might just be able to spend one summer to go at LT, and so try and take advantage of that. And finally, winter breaks. Every other year, we have this winter conference called Ignite, It's really fun. It's like a road trip. It's 3 to 4 days long. Consider going to that. I think we might be going this year. So just think about going. It is a really cool time. They're always a lot of fun. You get to connect with people from other schools. Great, awesome teaching. Great, awesome worship. It is a really, really cool thing to do. So there you go. Now, bringing it back to everybody. Years ago, I taught a message, and it was on a really fun analogy. Jim picks at me about it all the time because it was stupid long, and I went in way much detail than I needed to about things. But I'm going to kind of, I want to use this as like some closing thoughts. It's from Ephesians 3. And what Paul is doing here is he is offering up a prayer for the church in Ephesus. And for me, this is my prayer for NLCF as well. I join with Paul in this. This is Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that his love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a great prayer that Paul has for that church. What a great prayer that Paul has for us as the people of God. Talk about love for a second. So we talked about love, and you know, we've been going through 1 Corinthians for like ever since August. It's been really great. You know, Robbie talked about 1 Corinthians 13. Jim talked about, which is like the love chapter, you know, and so it talks about that a lot. And then we talked about, Jim mentioned it some last week. Love is just important. It is the thing that it spurs on God. It drives him. It comes from him. And without it, our life won't be as it could or as it should. And there is something that he says that is key when he's talking about love and the people of God. And what he is doing is that he is assuming that it's already there. Here in Ephesians 3, this is what he says again. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. And then he kind of lists off all this stuff. But he's saying that you are rooted in this. Here's what I pray that would happen as a result of that. So he is recognizing that it is there. And so for us, it is there. And we need to recognize it, and we need to allow that to push us into the things that God desires for our lives and for his kingdom. It's also important to note that it's a love that it goes beyond our knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. It's not just something that we think about and that we know about. It is an experiential love. It is something that we feel. And it is in us. Something about roots that I'd like to talk about. This is kind of the part that I got ridiculously long in years ago. But in horticulture majors, you're welcome to correct me on this later if you want. But there's a few things that I kind of know about roots. One is that there's a thing called a taproot for a lot of different types of plants. And if you kind of, there's a tree? Yeah, there it is. A taproot is that big, chunky one that kind of goes down the middle. And this will vary from like plants to trees and all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to get into all the details because right now it really is not the most important thing. What a taproot does is that it goes deep. When we talk about plants being deeply rooted, we talk about this idea of a taproot. And what it does is that if ever that plant is trying to pull up, pulling weeds out of my garden sometimes is like this. I pull it up. There's this huge root that goes way deeper than I feel like going to get out of the ground, and it comes right back. That taproot provides stability. It provides deep nourishment, but it is deep-rooted. It kind of solidifies the idea of that plant being there and being around and surviving. Another thing is that roots spread out. You know, if you ever take a pot, if you buy a plant in the store and you take it out of the pot, you'll notice that the roots kind of go around, 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 around like that. They want to go out. It is their natural tendency to go out. And so for us, we need to allow our experiences, our lives to explore God, to explore his kingdom, to get to know him better. And something that's cool to think about, if you're a plant and you're planted in God's love, as your roots go out, you are experiencing that love more and more and more. And so we need to allow ourselves to be able to do that. That happens through reading God's word. It happens through being a part of a genuine community. And it comes with just simply worshiping God and giving our lives to him. And finally, and this is something that is similar, that if you look at this tree, oftentimes with trees, you will find that what is above ground is almost a mirror image of what is happening below the ground. Jesus talks about this a lot, where the things that happen on the inside affect what happened on the outside. And so the more that we allow for our roots to spread out, the more we will see God moving in our lives and through us. And so we need to allow for ourselves to explore God's love, to get to know him better, and then use that for the sake of his kingdom as we go out, whatever it is that we're doing. And so here's kind of the point for all of this. If you take some time, 5, 10, 15 years from now, and you go back and you read your 2015 version of yourself in a journal, what do you want to see? Do you want to see this ridiculous person that you just want to reach through and just smack? You likely will at times, I'll be honest. You might already get that. Or do you want to see somebody who is giving everything that they have to God, who is saying yes, like that you are getting it right, way to go, 2015 version of yourself, high five. You know, it's like you just high fives, no smacks. That's what you want. So you're going to want these moments where you're getting it right, because you're not only going to have personal growth, but you're going to see God do amazing things in and more importantly through you. And so take this time and do that. Make the most of what you have right now for the sake of God. Allow for others to pour into you, pour into others, and you will see really, really cool stuff happen. And you will be amazed at God's goodness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you that you're good and that you love us and you care for us. I pray that as we get to know you better, as we get to know your love better, that you would move in great ways. Lord, our time here is limited, and we want to see great things happen for the sake of your kingdom. And so would you speak to us tenderly and move powerfully? We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey. All right. Well, you started and you ended with the taproot, bro.
I did.
That was well done.
Yeah.
That was well done.
Taproot.
All right. Well, listen, if we could have, this is Steve's last week with us. He mentioned it just briefly. He'll be going to the community congregation, New Life. And so he's not leaving, but he's not going to be around as much. So that's, you know, so we're kind of sending him off a little bit, but it's just kind of sending him, you know, just down the street.
It's like in the other wing of the house.
The other wing of the house. So
that's the way I look at it.
It's a good way to look at it. So what we want to do is we have a couple of people that are just going to very briefly kind of share some thanks.
I'm not a fan of this.
Okay. And so we have a couple of videos, people that couldn't be here, and then we have a couple people that are going to be sharing. And then Amy, can we have you come down here as well, please? You can, you know, look.
She'd
don't
no.
Look at me like that. Don't look at me like that.
Shit.
There we go. It's going to take her a while. She's, you know.
She's pretty pregnant.
She's pretty pregnant.
In case you're wondering, she's 36 and a half weeks.
There you go.
So we're in like
Amy, you can sit down if you want.
Crunch
That's
time.
Cool. You can do that.
She's gonna.
All right, so let's go ahead and test. Let's go ahead and show the first video, please. You may recognize these people.
Do I get to watch? Or?
You okay. Can watch, yes.
Aw.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
We heard that you were being honored at NLCF this morning, and since we're unable to be there to celebrate with you, we just wanted to send you a short video thanking you for all of the many things that you have been to us during our time at NLCF and afterwards as well. One of the biggest things that I really want to thank you for is just for the 5 years of discipleship that you...
Here we go. You you see if you can get that fixed, Tess, and then we're going to have... They're in
Honduras,
Colin?
So...
Where's Colin? There you go. Colin, see if you can get through the whole thing.
All right, we'll try. I'll try not to freeze halfway through. So, freshman year, I came and tried out on CF. They were on campus. They had donuts at 11 o'clock. It was great. And so I filled out my blue card, and Steve actually was the first person to reach out to me. And I'm like, all right, well, I want to get involved. And he's like, well, I've got this thing called a home group. Yes, I know what a home group is. It makes me old. So got connected, and we made the transition to engage groups. And didn't really see much of Steve the second semester of my freshman year. And then I found my blue card again. I'm like, all right, I'm involved. I'm ready to, like, make more friends here that are in the church and get more connected. And I was invited to Steve's huddle. And got connected and showed up. And there was a guy that was married, engaged, and dating someone. And then I just broken up with my girlfriend. It was, like, complete. I'm like, okay, well, this will be interesting. but Steve has been... Oh, he's always been there. He can attest that I probably have one of the busiest schedules of really anyone here. And it's frustrating for me, and I'm sure it's frustrating for Steve when he tries to make time for all of us each semester. But he's been persistent and has been there and helped me through a lot of the stuff to the point that I am well equipped to lead Bible studies and get married in September and all that stuff. So, Steve, thank you. Thank you for 5 years of getting me here and just making me who I am.
Okay, I see a lot of heads going back and forth around the video stuff, so I'm assuming that means it's not good to go. One more time. Okay. All right, well, then I'll go. And listen, guys, we're going to be finishing up in about 10 minutes, and then there's going to be cake afterwards. So... we recognize that, you know, it'll be 12, like 20-ish when we get out, but there's cake. So there it is. And that's a big deal, you know, if cake's a big deal. So there we go. Well, we'll just shift our turns. I just want to thank you too. Thank both of you. I remember Steve, one of the first times it's one of the first time we met, but it's one of the first times I saw this about you. We had to unload. You guys, we had this huge delivery truck that we called Betty. And we moved our stuff around in it for a number of years. And Betty was temperamental. Betty would break down. Betty just was unkind at times. Betty smelled bad. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with Betty. And so there were just a whole bunch of times that we would get calls that would say, all right, we got to go unload Betty because Betty's broken down on Main Street. Betty just stopped going over here. We don't even know why. She just isn't going now, and so we got to get the... And I remember there's one time that one of those calls went out, and I remember just how easily you were like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm doing fine. I think you were... It was kind of a busy time for you, but you're like, yeah, I'll do that too. And one of the things that I learned through doing that with you is how to serve people better. I'm not the most natural servant. I can do it, but it's not always the way that I think. And so what I do is I like to look for people that are better at stuff than I am and watch how they do it and then try to replicate that. And that's discipleship to me a little bit. That's you, you know, even though I've been kind of the one that's discipled you, you've discipled me. You've shown me how to be just a better, kinder, more low-key servant of people. And that's something that's a blessing to me. It's a blessing to my family. It's a blessing to everybody if I'm just a little, you know, more low-key and kinder. That's a nice thing. And using your gifts that you've had to help us in so many ways, whether it's getting Betty going when we need to, or the renovation of the loft, all the things that you've done where your very specific gifts have really helped us out. It's just been, things are better because you've been here. And that's just undeniable. There's not a question of that. And I just have to say thank you. You've made things better. Thank you for that, bro. All right.
Hey, Steve. Sorry I couldn't be there today. I just wanted to tell you how much I really appreciate your friendship and your wisdom, and just the fact that you've been such a brother to me for a pretty long time. And I just am praying for you and your transition, and I'm just so thankful for how caring and how wise and just how hardworking and loyal you have been as a friend and a coworker for these years. And I always have looked up to you as a mentor in Christ and as a friend. And I just thank you for those years and the years that we'll have even in the future. So I just wanted to say good luck. Thank you. And you've just been just a great brother to me, and I know to many others as well. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
We heard that you were being honored at NLCF this morning, and since we're unable to be there to celebrate with you, we just wanted to send you a short video thanking you for all of the many things that you have been to us during our time at NLCF and afterwards as well. One of the biggest things that I really want to thank you for is just for the 5 years of discipleship that you gave me during my time at Tech. It was such an invaluable time to me, and you are a huge part of my spiritual development over these last few years. We also just really want to thank you for always believing in us and empowering us to do what God was telling us to do. Obviously, you are a huge reason that we are serving in ministry in Don Lee, Honduras right now, and we just want to thank you so much for that. Also, thank you to you and Amy both for our premarital counseling. It was such a really great time for us and really helped prepare us so much for our marriage, and we're super thankful for that. And I also just want to thank you for just the friendship that's developed between us, even after the discipleship over these last few years. I really knew that our friendship was real when you started crying and couldn't even pronounce us husband and wife at our wedding. So yeah, thanks, man, and thanks for all that you do for us.
Steve, we know that you are all of these things and more to other students throughout the campus congregation, and we know that everyone is going to miss you so much there. But the New Life congregation is so lucky to be receiving you. We love you so much.
Yeah, we love you, man.
Man, that was cool. All right, you two, come on up. And staff, the staff that we have here, I know not everybody can be here. Who do we have that's here? We got Sarah. There's Boss. All right, Sean. We got a few of us. All right. Let's just gather around these two. Let me just pray on behalf of us all. God, we just thank you for Steve and Amy. Lord, just personally, I've just loved having them as friends. Living two houses down from them, Lord, I have enjoyed just the ability to work with both of them on staff, and God, we are excited about what you're going to do with New Life, and we are so glad that they are receiving a great couple, Lord, a great family, soon to be a bigger one. God, I just pray that you would watch over them. I pray that you would bless New Life through them. And Lord, I pray above anything else that they would just know that they have been a blessing to us. Lord, that you look at them and you are pleased, Lord. And I pray that that would be the thing that kind of shines through all of this. God, thank you for sharing them with us for a while. We look forward to continued friendship and continued working together. But God, just walk them to the other wing of the house carefully. We love them, God. Thank you for them. Amen.
Since I have a microphone, I want to personally thank Steve myself. Steve has been incredible. He's been my huddle leader for the past 2 years. He was the trip leader for the Honduras trip 2 years ago, and he just has an incredible heart for God, and it's something that I admire, and Steve is a great role model. I can't thank him enough. You're awesome, dude.